uncomfortable but confident. And this all started really about a month ago. I was at work, and we had some training with our chemical warfare ensemble. I see Matt back there. He was involved in it. We had to get out all that old chemical warfare gear and knock the cobwebs off of it and dust it out, dig it all out, and have a discussion about how you put this on and how you put that on and how you don the mask and when you're supposed to work with it on and when you're supposed to take cover with it on, just a whole lot of stuff that I'm really good at complaining about. I hate it, and I hate it doing it. I hate fooling with it. But when it was over and I got back to my office, I had a text from Sharon, and I apologized to her because she had a question about the clothing closet, and I've been down there messing around with all that gear. And I said, I want to apologize, and I told her a little bit about what was going on. And she said, well, that doesn't sound like it's much fun. And I said, well, it's not. I said, but really, if it comes down to it and you need it, you have confidence in it.
Amen.
And then I paused, and I said, that sounds like a message and or a sermon. And in typical Sharon fashion, she said, well, get to work. She said, get to work. So I did. So we look at the scripture this morning. We'll look at 1 Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word cuts, Lord, and it heals. I pray, Lord, that every heart would receive your word, that it would land on good soil. And God, as Elijah prayed, Lord, let it be known today that you are God and that we are your servants, and everything we do today is at your word. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In prison, Paul said, yes, I will rejoice. In prison, Paul said, I will rejoice. Who rejoices in prison? Who? It has to be, if not the, one of the most uncomfortable places anyone could ever want to be. It was a couple years ago, the Malachi Dads, we got together and we went to Mount Olive. And we got to watch the Malachi Dads at Mount Olive Prison play against some college basketball players, some athletes. And I'd never been there before, praise God. I had never been in that environment. But I can tell you, when we came in and they started searching us and checking us, and we walked out into that courtyard and you just see all those cold faces staring at you, I was uncomfortable. I was uneasy. And Robert can tell you better than I can. He's done it more times than I have. That's the only time I've ever done it. And I was uneasy. And then they led us and we went into the gymnasium. And then there was they were just free, roaming about, prisoners everywhere. They sit in the bleachers, and we walk across the gym, and there's just cold faces, and I was uncomfortable. I was like, man, this is going to be the most uncomfortable basketball game I ever watched in my life. I was watching my back all the time, you know. But something happened. Something happened. So Calvin Lee took the floor, and he began to speak to the men. And someone else took the floor, I can't remember who it was, and they began to speak to the men. And then we got to go into a little chapel with a small group of men that were in prison there that loved Jesus. And all of a sudden, they didn't have that cold look in their eye. They had this look of hope and promise and anticipation. And we met them, and we talked to them, and we prayed with them. And gosh, man, I was comfortable all of a sudden. I was confident.
Amen.
Man, I have confidence in this place. We went, and we watched the basketball game. It was fantastic. The prisoners won, and I was rooting for them because the college kids were talking smack, and they didn't have any cooth, and I wanted the prisoners to win so bad. He drained a three in the last second, didn't they, Robert? I ran the floor. I rushed the floor at Mount Olive. I rushed the floor. Man, it was fantastic. I was so excited. But we like to be comfortable. We're soft, guys, gals. We are soft. We like to be comfortable. We have our comfort zones to keep us free from anxiety. We take comfort in soothing words. There, there. God will never put on you more than you can handle. Verses about temptation, by the way. We go to amusement parks, and we go there for like a good day, right? We're going to have a good day, and then we stand in line, and we ride rides. I love roller coasters. I do. I love them. But man, at the end of the day, after you've stood in line in the heat and you paid $50 for a hamburger, man, you're just like, man, I'm not comfortable at all. And so what they have comfort zones. You know, you got to have a comfort zone on your vacation now. And then there's me in my fireplace. You know, that thing changes. I had, when we first moved into that house, I had to have a wood-burning stove. I wanted one so bad, and I got it, and I cut firewood, and I split firewood, and I was proud. We have wood fire, because wood fire, man, it warms you to the bone. That's what I tell Paula. We got to have it. And then after a while, cutting and splitting wood all the time wasn't very comfortable. And I was like, there's got to be something better than this, you know? And so I went to a pellet stove. Yeah, all you got to do is pour the wood pellets in there, right? So I did all the work and changed all that out, and that was comfortable for a while. And then, man, this going to the store and loading all these 40-pound bags of pellets in the truck and driving down here and then carrying them in the house and then carrying one in the house every time we get cold. It's not very comfortable either. So now there's gas logs in there, and I don't have natural gas, so I have to go get a big propane bottle filled and bring it to the house and hook it all up. So we'll see how long I'm comfortable with that. I don't know. But the truth is, we need to be comforted sometimes. We do. We need comforting words. We go through stuff, man. Life is stressful. Knowing that his disciples were going to go through stuff, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you under myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I take comfort in those words. Man, I may be soft. I may be soft. But I take comfort in these words. I'm counting on these words.
Yeah.
My hope is in these words.
Right.
All my eggs are in this basket.
Amen.
All of them.
Amen.
The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is preparing an eternal place for me and for you. I take comfort in that. But it begs the question, will I always be comfortable while I wait? Can I just bypass stress and resistance and persecution? Suffering? The same Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you." It's coming. It's coming. Paul said, "In that I rejoice." Yes, I rejoice. Without question, there will be times when we find ourselves very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Maybe we're facing resistance. Maybe we're being persecuted. Maybe it's that never-ending trial. Maybe you're being attacked by people you truly love. Have you ever been there? People you really love hurt you. You see, evil has very few boundaries. It has very few boundaries. The Bible says it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. We need to understand, however, that our suffering has purpose. It has purpose. It's just not random. It's not paying for anything, because Jesus paid for that on Calvary's cross. He paid it. You're not paying for anything. That's been paid. But it has perfect purpose. Jesus wouldn't have said that we'd be blessed if it didn't. Right? Right. James said, "Count it all joy when you face trials, that you might be perfect and complete and lack nothing."
That's right.
Let's look again at the scripture, if we can, please. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to see the purpose. There's purpose all in this text. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. See the purpose?
Yeah.
See it? So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. See the purpose? And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See any purpose in that? Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. More purpose. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Want to know the purpose? Christ is proclaimed. That's a good enough purpose. That's a good enough purpose. What Paul is saying, he's saying what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. What man and evil intended has had the reverse effect. What evil intended has had the reverse effect. The gospel is advancing while I'm in jail. While I'm uncomfortable. Not only that, but it's spreading like wildfire. I'm in prison for Jesus. Most of my brothers have increased in confidence, more bold than ever. They stand tall. They preach the truth without fear of reprisal. Some are even preaching it for the wrong reasons, but they're preaching it nonetheless. I am confident that my discomfort is for the glory of God.
Amen.
Confident. And my jail time? Well, I'm glad you ask. In every way, this situation has called Christ to be proclaimed. And in that, I rejoice. Now, that was from the KWV, the Kevin Williams version. But know this, when you endure for Christ, what evil intends will have the opposite effect.
That's good.
When you're committed to God and Him receiving all the glory, you can be confident.
Amen.
You will be developed and brought to a new place. And that His name and His glory will be proclaimed.
Yes,
your discomfort lifts His name. It leads you to new heights in your relationship with Him. Know that all things work for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Pastor Frank said you are victorious.
That's right.
Don said it's only resistance. God is taking you somewhere new.
Yes.
Rejoice in it.
Amen.
Rejoice in it. In John chapter 9, Jesus was questioned, why was this man born blind from his birth? What sin did he or his parents commit? Jesus said, this man didn't sin, nor did his man, or did his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. There's purpose. The works of God were to be displayed in this man. So he had to be uncomfortable for a while. How many knows he got healed? Yeah. God wants his work to be displayed in you. He wants to show himself off through you.
Amen.
What is your discomfort right now? Are things a mess? Has it gone on for about as long as you can stand it? Let me disclose something to you. I get it. I get it. I mean, I really get it. I've had things come at me, and I've literally said from my mouth, God, is this my reward for my effort? Is this what I get? Really? Because I was trying. I was really trying. I know it wasn't perfect, but I was trying. And this is what I get? Come on, man. That was me. I needed to grow up. I needed to grow up, Daryl. See, it was not about my effort. It's about Him. My attitude needed fixed. Don once said, if you need to change your outlook, change what you're looking at. I've never lost that one. That's a good one. Change what you're looking at. That was me. I was looking at the situation when I should have been looking at Christ.
Amen.
That was me. So where do I go from here, Kevin? What now? I mean, it's bad. If I told you what was going on right now, it's bad. It's really bad. I'm at my wit's end. I want you to write down these five P's. We're going to go through them. Okay? Jeff, you taking notes?
Yes.
Jeff always takes notes. He's the best note taker I know. Jeff, you make these, anybody wants copies, you got their back, right? All right. Jeff's the best note taker I know. The five P's. The first P is purpose. We just covered that, right? Know that your suffering and your uncomfortable situation has purpose. It's just not happening to you just because God wants to have a little fun at your expense. It has purpose. It has meaning for you. There's development in it. And Christ's name being proclaimed at the forefront. Number two is prayer. The second P is prayer when you're uncomfortable. We have to pray.
Amen.
We have to pray.
Yes, sir.
I read an article by A.W. Tozer this week titled, Pray Until You Pray. He said, don't pray until you quit. Pray until you pray. Here's what he wrote. The habit of breaking off our prayers before we have truly prayed is as common as it is unfortunate. Often the last 10 minutes may mean more to us than the first half hour because we must spend a long time getting into the proper mood to pray effectively. We may need to struggle with our thoughts to draw them in from where they've been scattered through the multitude of distractions that result from the task of living in a disordered world. Pray until you pray. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, and he spoke a parable to this end, that men ought to pray and not faint.
Amen, sir.
Pray until you pray. Don't pray until you quit. Don't pray until you faint. Don't pray until you blow your nose. Pray until you pray.
Amen.
Pray until you pray. Right. Praying until you pray is your formal invitation to God into the situation. Praying until you pray is your release of your worry and your anxiety. Praying until you pray opens new doors of opportunity and new relationships. Praying until you pray produces confidence. My tongue almost got tangled right there. Produces confidence. Pray.
Amen.
Pray. And when you've prayed until you pray, transition to the third P, praise.
Yeah.
Once you've prayed until you pray, you know what you're in has purpose. You know it has purpose. It's not just randomly happening to me. And you've prayed about it. You've prayed until you can't pray anymore. You just go ahead and transition to praise. I want to look at some scripture. And I want to spend some time on this one because it's a really good lesson in here. If we can look at Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 through 35. It doesn't look like it has anything to do with praise, but you'll see where I'm going in a minute. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. She conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Again she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. She conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she ceased bearing. I feel sorry for Leah. I feel sorry for her, man. Heartbroken for her. She was the oldest daughter. The Bible says she was tender-eyed. One translation says weak-eyed. I don't know what it means when a woman has weak eyes. I don't know what that means. Didn't sound good, though. But her younger sister, Rachel, she was the pretty one. You know, Jacob saw Rachel coming. He's like, whoa, what about that Rachel? You know, Rachel was the one that everybody said, hubba, hubba. Yeah. Leah was just the oldest. She was the reliable one. She was the one that probably got the work done. While everybody made over Rachel. That was Leah. Beyond the record of sons being born and any genealogy, what I see here is a lady with a broken heart. Young lady with a broken heart. She feels unloved, unwanted. She doesn't understand why her life has to be this uncomfortable. She gets up every day. Think about this. She got up every day knowing that the only reason that she even has a husband is because her dad tricked him. The only reason she's even married is my dad had to trick that guy. It's sad. It's really sad. What I want to do is I want to look at this scripture and I want to break it down. And if you can just bear with me, I want to imagine what her prayers might have sounded like. You just hang with me for a minute. Let's play a little game. I don't know what she prayed, but I can surmise. I think I can get close based on what the scripture does say. Prayer number one. You guys ready? Prayer number one. Lord, my husband does not love me. He loves my sister Rachel. I know that if you give me a son, my husband will love me. So what's the scripture say? God grants her a son, Reuben. And she says, surely the Lord has seen my affliction, and my husband will love me. That's what she said. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Surely he'll love me now. Like me, she's still looking at her situation. She just wants Jacob to love her. Prayer number two. God, everyone hates me. Everybody loves Rachel. God grants her another son, Simeon. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and she says, the Lord heard that I was not loved, and he gave me this son too. Still about her. Prayer number three. Lord, I just really want my husband to love me. God grants her a third son, Levi. And she says, now this time, surely my husband will be attached to me. Surely he will. Still about Leah. She's still looking at Leah. Things get interesting on number four, though. I think she prayed something like this. Lord, I give up. All else has failed. I'm the ugly sister. But you've been faithful to me time and time again. But my husband still doesn't love me. He's still not attached to me. My sister Rachel was barren, and everybody still thinks she's the greatest. God, I'm just going to praise you. That's all I know to do. I can't change the people. I can only do so much with my appearance. So I transition this prayer to praise. That's what I think it sounded like. So from the abundance of the heart, the mouth spoke, and God granted her a fourth son. And she said, this time I will praise the Lord and name the son Judah, whose name means praise. Now this time it's not about Leah anymore, it's about God. It's about God. Now God can show himself off through her. Now he can take her to her calling. Now she's operating where she was intended. With Leah in the right mindset, transitioning her from prayer to praise, God used her to start the lineage. He used her to start the lineage. We know that King David, the man after God's own heart, the man of praise, came from the line of Judah. We know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came through the line of Judah. I was thinking, we go through things and we have hard times, and sometimes it's necessary to maybe get a counselor or join a group, just get some kind of support, because we do need comfort, we do need help, and I fully support all that. I think all that has so much value and so much meaning. There's one group I became a part of, and I'll never break up with them. I'll never leave them. I'll make every attempt to show up every time they meet, because they have so much value. There's so much support. This group calls itself the Tribe. They call themselves the Tribe of Judah. They call themselves the Tribe of Praise, the tribe who lifts up the one who was in the beginning. The one who was and is to come. The one whose name is above every name under heaven. The one, the only one who is worthy to open the seals of the book. The one who's the ruler of the nations. The Lamb which takes away the sin of the world. Yeah. Revelation 5:5 says he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Yeah. He is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. We are a pride of lion cubs. We are lions, hear us roar. We've come to praise him. We've come to praise him. In it all, we will rejoice. We will rejoice. I belong to his pride of praise. So should you. Join the pride of praise. On his deathbed, Jacob spoke to Judah, and he said, you are a lion's whelp, meaning a lion's cub, and the scepter will not depart from Judah. Church, Jesus will reign forevermore. You can take it to the bank. The scepter will not depart from him. It will not. Amen. It has not, and it will not. Amen. Yes, he came to us from the tribe of Judah. He came to us through the praise of one woman, through the praise of one willing to put her discomfort aside and let God show himself faithful through her. One woman, brokenhearted, uncomfortable. Life was a mess. He wants to show himself off through you.
Amen.
Be confident and rejoice.
Amen.
Number four. Fourth P. Getting them, Jeff?
Yeah.
Perform. Be confident that God is faithful to perform.
Amen.
He is faithful to perform. God told a young Jeremiah when he first called him, I'll watch over my word to perform it. God does what he says he'll do. He'll do. Verse 19, Jeremiah 1:19. Let's look at that. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you.
Amen.
The Lord watches over his promises, and he's forever faithful. While it may seem that all the forces of evil are against you, he declares that he will deliver you.
Yes.
He is faithful. He is consistent. He is tried and true. He never fails. Oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good.
Yes.
He is good. Be encouraged that know his God is on your side. You are victorious.
Amen.
The man told us.
Amen.
You are victorious. Number five. The fifth P. Proclaim. A proclamation of God's goodness and your impending victory
is always
in order. It is always in order to proclaim the impending victory that belongs to you.
Yes, sir.
Don't doubt it. Proclamations are made in the authority of the head of state. That's where proclamations are made. By or in the authority of the head of state, in the authority of the name of Jesus, you and I have been made heirs to the kingdom and have the authority to any proclamation that aligns with the word of God.
Amen.
Proclaim it.
Amen.
When you're in an uncomfortable situation, proclaim your victory. Proclaim God's goodness. Be like Paul and say, in this I will rejoice. I proclaim it. Success. Proclaim to be a tree that's planted by water. I will not be moved.
Yes.
I will not be moved.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this crazy story. When I was a kid, I loved Rocky movies. I loved them. And my poor sister Gina, she had to face the wrath that came from me not having any brothers and watching too much Rocky. When I was about 30 years old, I called her and apologized. That's a true story. You can ask Paula. I said, I really wasn't good to you. I mean, I'd watch one episode, and I decided this day I was going to punch her like Rocky, you know, give her some of those. And then another day I was like into Creed, and it was like, she'd get the Creed. And then in the Mr. T predictions, oh, prediction, pain. You know, I'd give her the pain prediction, and Mom! Yeah. Drago, I must break you. Yeah. I needed a brother to line me out, you know what I mean? I was immature. I was missing the entire message of every one of those movies. Completely missed it. I thought the cool stuff was people getting punched in the face.
That's right.
The root of the message was Rocky Balboa could take a beating. He just kept coming.
That's right. That's right.
To quote Creed's trainer, the man kept coming at you. So sometimes it's just necessary to say, I'm a tree planted by the water, and I'll not be moved.
Come on now.
I'm right here.
Amen.
One time he looked at Clubber Lang, and he said, I'm still standing here, and I'm not breathing heavy either. Face all beat up, you know. Man, that's the message. That's the message. Proclaim that for God's glory, you'll be victorious.
Yeah.
Proclaim that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Proclaim that God watches over his word and he's careful to perform it. Proclaim I'm still standing here and I'm not breathing heavy either.
Amen.
Rooted.
Yeah.
Go ahead, punch yourself out. Hide and watch what God does next. Hide and watch. Because I ain't going nowhere. Mark tells us, man, the enemy wants to steal your faith. He can't do much else. He can't do much else. You know, I said Jesus was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Bible says that the devil is as or like a roaring lion. Man, we're going to serve one or the other. You're either going to serve the lion or the one who tries to be a lion.
Come on, man. That's right.
Put me with the lion.
That's right.
I'll stand here. You know, oh, can that guy fight? I don't know, but he looks like it.
Come on.
So? Looks like he can. And Jesus can fight. He already won.
Amen.
He already won. In conclusion, man, I know you guys are going through, a lot of you are going through a lot of stuff, man. You're really going through a lot of stuff. Uncomfortable situations. I get it. I really do. Work stressful. Family issues, it seems like they always abound. Sin, complete confusion is everywhere around the world. People have no desire to get along. We struggle economically. Be confident that God is ready to show himself off in your life. In your life. He wants to show himself through you. Pray until you pray. Know that it all has purpose. Praise him, knowing that he's faithful to perform. Be confident that he'll deliver you. He wants to show off through you. God is taking you somewhere new. You face trials. In the end, you'll be complete and you'll lack nothing.
Amen.
When you endure for Christ, what evil intends will have the opposite effect. Have the opposite effect. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering, that all should come to repentance.
Amen.